Thanks for listening to our Cambridge Breakfast podcast. Remember, you can subscribe with Radio Player or your favourite podcast app and never miss an episode. And don't forget to join us live on Cambridge 105 Radio, weekday mornings from 7.
Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
And on the subject of sashes and awnings, we're going to talk about Queen Edith's for the next little while. Sam Davis is here. She is a community activist in that part of the city. Morning, Sam, and Happy New Year.
Good morning, and Happy New Year to you too.
Thank you for coming in this morning. There's a few things we want to talk about. And first of all, you've got a couple of neighbourhood design workshops which are coming up over the next couple of weeks, actually. One on Saturday the 18th and the next one on the 25th of January. Now, what sort of areas are you looking to cover in that?
So the Queen Edith's Community Forum, which is the group that I chair, is very keen that people should feel more ownership, more of a stake in their neighbourhood. And it's really interesting. When you talk to people from Cherry Hinton, a lot of them still refer to it as the village. It has an identity. Mm. It has a way they think about it.
And do you think that Queen Edith lacks that at all?
I do, absolutely.
Really? I find that interesting because, to me, sitting here in Petersfield, Queen Edith's feels one of the most active parts of the city.
It's active, but I wouldn't say it has a particular identity. It's the kind of bit next to the biomedical campus that isn't Trumpington. And what the community forum's been trying to do over the last 4 or 5 years, really, as well as run events and share information, is actually start to develop some sense of identity. And it's particularly important in Queen Edith's because we have so many temporary residents who are there doing research contracts on the biomedical campus or who are working at the hospital, that to keep some kind of continuity.
And is that part of the problem? Whereas the people you mentioned in Cherry Hinton, they've either lived there forever or they're intending to live there forever. Whereas in Queen Edith's, because of the nature of what's around you, yes, there may be some residents who are pretty much part of the furniture, but this constant toing and froing, you're not going to be thinking about what's going to be happening in 5 years because you're not going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a problem across the whole city because 20% of the population of the city churns every year. That's not just the students, that's the whole population. So it's a very, very mobile population, but I think Queen Edith's has a particular issue with it. So in terms of what we're trying to do at the moment, we're looking at place and what that means in a Queen Edith's context. And the workshops are one part of a three-part project, if you like. And the workshops are about getting people to think about the future of the Queen Edith's Way area in the south of the neighbourhood. As a kind of case study, really, we're trying this out. I like trying things. So we're trying this out to see what ideas people can bring forward from their own experience about changes they would like to make there and how they can begin to construct a vision.
And
what
sort of changes are we looking at? Is this, I don't know, road crossings in the right place, enough community access? I know we often hear about, I think it popped up in the news, it might have popped up in the headlines this morning, from another point of view, pressure on the national grid because of electric car charging. Is there enough electric car charging in Queen Edith's, for example?
So I think we're open to suggestions from the really quite small to the very significant. I mean, you know, there are cities around the world which have done things, but like in Barcelona, they call them super blocks. So they basically define a one-way grid round a number of streets, and within the grid, you can have very limited car access or no access at all. So, you know, one extremely ambitious and possibly not popular, I don't know, but opportunity could be to redefine the layout of Queen Edith's Way, Cherry Hinton Road, Mowbray Road, to make the area within that less car dependent. Okay. On the other hand, it could be really simple things like saying, are there places we could put car club cars? because we don't have any car club cars in Cambridge at the moment. And then that might encourage some people to give up their car or their second car, make some more space on the road. But it's also, it's really important to say it's not just about transport, it's about place. So in that area, Wolfstone Way is our local centre. That's where our shops are, that's where one of the primary schools is. Now, that's an area that I don't think is really pulling its weight at the moment in terms of attracting people to stay local, shop local, build community there. So it'll be really interesting to see what ideas people have this Saturday and the workshop the following Saturday about what can be done to make that a more vibrant place.
So you've got the workshops coming up, but you've also got the online survey that you're running as well. What are you sort of looking to find out through that?
So the survey is covering the whole of the area, so pretty much everything south of Cherry Hinton Road. And we've already had over 150 responses to that. Really what we're trying to do there is look for similarities and discrepancies. So it's a piece of industry industry standards software, where it asks you to score your place on 14 different criteria. So, and it produces a beautiful little spider diagram, so you can see what's going on very quickly. So let's say, for example, that the average across the area is that people say they feel safe, mm-hmm. you know, and they score safety quite highly. And then one particular little area of roads is scoring very much lower than that. Well, that will come out in the data, mm-hmm. and then we can start to investigate why there's that discrepancy. Similarly, you know, if one of the comments that comes back from everybody is there's not enough for older children and teenagers, then that's a pretty strong message as well.
Yeah, I see.
And Queen Edith Way itself is still closed, is it not, because of this Dutch roundabout thing, which, and Dutch roundabout seems to be the term used for any roundabout which is different from normal roundabouts.
Yeah, it has become a bit of a buzzword. Queen Edith Way itself is not shut along the length of it. It's just the Fendon
just
Road
that
roundabout.
Portion close to the roundabout.
Yes. So what that means then is that traffic is now diverting down Nightingale Avenue to get across to Hills Road and the biomedical
and
campus.
And then what does that do? I guess one can look at this from two perspectives. There's the day-to-day inconvenience, both for drivers and not least the residents of Nightingale Avenue, but also what this does, because this is happening over an extended period of time. I know the way I work with driving. If I had to go up that way and got diverted down Nightingale Avenue a few times, I'd probably end up going that way once the roundabout is back open.
Well, that's a significant concern, I think. And also the degree of rat running through Holbrook Road and Glebe Road, people cutting out earlier, is very significant. I mean, we were told that the highways engineers believed the traffic problems would diminish after a couple of weeks because people would get used to the new arrangement. I walked along Nightingale Avenue after what I thought was the rush hour yesterday. It was absolutely stacked. So
yesterday was particularly bad on the roads, I think. We had one drop of rain and the Cambridge traffic goes to pot, basically.
Well, what's also really interesting is that the Fendon Road scheme has been designed supposedly for cycle and pedestrian safety. But what's happening in the interim is that Nightingale Avenue, which was a relatively safe cycle access to the biomedical campus, is now extremely unpleasant on a bike because all the traffic's diverted down there. So you're kind of giving with one hand and taking away with the other.
It's just quite an interesting one, really, isn't it? It makes you wonder as to how long that road will be in, once the road is back open and the roundabout is in business, as to how long before that compensates for all the hassles which have gone before.
I guess that all depends kind of which camp you're in.
Well, and why has it taken so long? Because our travel news here has this wonderful phrase, and it mentions that it's, you know, closed and blah, 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 blah. But then it goes on and says, until 9 minutes past 11 on the 27th of March 2020. Hmm. But not too long ago, that was November, December. So I don't quite understand as to why the extension.
It was always supposed to be a long project.
Okay.
The date we were given was April. But But one of the things that I never cease to be amazed by is when they embark on these major engineering projects, because we had the same thing when they did Addenbrooke's roundabout a few years ago. They start digging holes in the road and then they discover utilities that they didn't know they were there or that they thought were in a different place. And on this build, that's really slowed them down. You know, and to me, the idea that in the 21st century, you can't
map your utilities. Nobody's got some sort of underground map of where everything is.
Well, I think they have maps, but they turn out not to be particularly accurate. So I don't know what the latest is on completion date for the roundabout. My sense is they have been held up by these utility issues. So I don't know if the April date, which residents were originally told, is still correct.
Well, look, Sam, thank you very much for coming in. Remind us once more before we close, though, as to how to take part in that online survey if a resident of Queen Edith's is interested in that, and also the event coming up to where people can give their views of what they want Queen Edith's to look like.
Yeah, sure.
How do people find out?
So in relation to the workshops, they are this Saturday afternoon and next Saturday afternoon at Queen Edith's Primary School. The access to that is via Godwin Way. It's 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. And I should say we're doing that in conjunction with Edward Lee from Smarter Cambridge Transport and Monica and Liz, who are two brilliant architects who volunteered their time to come and help support the work with that, and I'm hugely grateful to them. And the survey is linked from the Queen Edith's Community Forum website. So if you type www.queen-edith's/place, that will take you to the launch for the survey. But that is just for people who have a Queen Edith's address.
Okay, that's fair enough. Well, look, Sam, thank you for coming in, and do come back and see us maybe in a couple of months' time when those results from those that survey has been collated. Thank you very much. It's 22 minutes after 8. Cambridge 105.